Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 17, and today we're going to be talking about recovering from PMDD. So I'm going to go into a lot of detail on what PMDD is, how we can recover from it, natural treatment options, and yeah, hopefully that'll help any of you who think you might have PMDD, or even if you are working with people who have PMDD, that will also be of benefit to you. But before we get into that, I would love if you could do me a huge favor and go over to the review section in your podcast player and give me a little thumbs up or a review or the 5 stars or whatever it is that you do to review podcasters, because that will really help bump the algorithm. Lots of people have been messaging me and telling me that they're really enjoying the podcast, and I've been getting a lot of encouraging messages. So it would really, really mean a lot to me if you gave me a review, write a little note, give me the 4 or 5 stars or whatever it is. And yeah, it'd be really, really helpful. So thank you in advance for doing that. Last week, we had the episode on commitment and why commitment is important and why it's difficult and how we can make it easier. And I had a lot of really positive feedback about that. So if you haven't yet listened to that, I'd encourage you to listen to that. It's a really good podcast if you are someone who struggles with perfectionism or struggles to bring a project from beginning, middle to end and struggle bringing the projects through completion. Then yeah, give that a listen. Let me know what you think. And yeah, I've got a few more episodes as well that I'm going to mention in this episode because there's a lot of things that connect. So let's get straight into it. So PMDD stands for premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And the way that I describe this is that it's a syndrome. It's not necessarily like a disease, or it's something, you know, your doctor can't give you a blood test for it. There's not really a test for PMDD. It's more a collection of symptoms, and then you can identify with the syndrome of PMDD. And the way that PMDD presents will be very, very different for everyone. But what I usually hear from the people who I work with and, you know, my audience and the space that I'm in is that PMDD essentially is like PMS, premenstrual syndrome or premenstrual symptoms, times 100. So it's very, very intense PMS. And I have a list here of some of the kind of the symptoms or how it can present for some people. So it can be dark, like it's mostly a mental health condition. So it's in that 10 days or the week before your period where you might feel very depressed. Your anxiety might be really, really intense, a lot more than normal. You might experience suicidal ideation. You might experience really intense burnout. You probably experience a lot of mood swings, struggling with relationships, struggling with reactions, and just navigating the world. And, you know, there might be a real strong urge in you, in your physicality, in your psychology, to make rash decisions around ending a relationship or leaving a job or moving house, or just, you know, very, very intense, strong feelings and urges to do something kind of drastic. Or there could be self-harm. Some people also experience really strong cravings as well, really, really intense cravings, like an insatiable hunger. And that could be quite common too. And some people who identify with PMDD, they often have been already diagnosed with something like bipolar disorder or PTSD or complex PTSD, or anxiety or depression. And so that's kind of the picture of what PMDD is, how it presents. And it's very important that you kind of get curious about how this could possibly be presenting for you. There's always a cyclical element to it. And usually, not always, usually the individual will experience some relief with the onset of menstruation. So when your period comes, you might experience some energy, some relief, some peace, some ease in your body. But then the cycle usually starts again after ovulation. So in that 10 days or week before your period. And it's this kind of relentless cyclical experience where there's this clearly a strong connection between suffering with your mental health and suffering with your physicality. So the people who identify with this, what often happens is they might have had like quote unquote mental health challenges or a mental health diagnosis for a long time and not really realize there was a cyclical element to it. And then when they start tracking their menstrual cycle, they realize, oh, wait, this is so linked to my hormones. This is linked to my, you know, my menstrual cycle. And the problem with this is that they have never been told, no one has ever asked them about their hormones and their period, because we do unfortunately live in a world where the majority, okay, not every, but the majority of medical professionals and psychological professionals, they don't have in their training, in their education, a holistic and integrative and clear and focused understanding of the female sex hormones and the relationship between the female sex hormones and our mental health and how that's very different for females than it is for males. And so that's a very big, a very, very big missing piece when it comes to mental health, particularly obviously for females and for people who have menstrual cycles, for women. So that's something to think about if you're listening to this and you're already clued into the fact that you either have PMDD or you could have PMDD. It is unfortunately very true that the world isn't really set up to support people who identify with PMDD. And I'm talking about the mainstream here. I'm talking about just general medicine and general psychology, clinical psychology. They don't have in their training, at least from what I can understand, you know, a really good, clear, solid understanding between the roles of female sex hormones, estrogen and progesterone, and how that impacts the nervous system and how that impacts our mental health and the relationship between our female sex hormones and our emotions and our well-being and our experiences of trauma and all that. So it is a very, very real condition. It's a very difficult condition. I'm working with clients who have it at the moment. It does cause a lot of suffering. However, there's a lot you can do about PMDD. There's so much you can do about PMDD. There's a lot of hope. There's so many tools that you can lean into. And I'm going to offer you a lot of stuff here in this podcast today. So hopefully this will be some inspiration for you to get started with healing or to continue your journey of healing, because I'm sure a lot of you already are in a journey, in a process of recovery. But yeah, we're going to discuss it in a bit more depth. We're going to go into the root causes of PMDD from my perspective. And I hope that you can leave this podcast feeling a little bit more hope, a little bit more encouragement and motivation to take action with your health and take responsibility. And yeah, just know that you're not alone, because you really, really are not alone. And that's the thing about PMDD or any kind of mental health or trauma diagnosis, is this illusion that we feel like we're alone when we're in it. And, you know, I can say this here now today, but I've experienced my own experiences of trauma healing. And when I'm going through the bouts of darkness and the difficulty, like, it really does feel like, gosh, I feel so alone and isolated in that. So I'm just going to remind you that you're not alone and there is help out there. There's lots of different ways to get help. I'm one of them. You can absolutely reach out to me if you're interested in doing one-to-one coaching around this. I can support you. Just head on over to my website, lisadioncoaching.com. The link is in the show notes as well. Set up a consultation call and we can have a look and see if it's a good fit. I offer a 3-month coaching package. It's an intensive but also quite gentle and powerful coaching package to help you on your journey to recovery, to help you get to the place where you want to get to help you to heal, to help you to heal trauma, to help you build a healthier relationship with your menstrual cycle. So if you're interested, just book a consult and we can have a chat. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the approach that I take when I'm working with PMDD. And the reason why I'm going to really occupy space here with this topic is because I do work very holistically. I do work in a very integrative way. And my coaching practice, my therapeutic coaching practice, sits at the intersection of multiple fields that haven't yet met this need for people with PMDD and for women. So I'm going to just share with you, if you're interested in doing work around this, or if you're interested in learning more about this, then I'm going to offer you just some insight into what's happening on a hormonal level and what's happening on a nervous system level, and also a relationship level. When I say relationship, I mean our relationship with ourselves. And that's a huge part of my coaching work too. So what I've seen is very often the people who identify with PMDD, they tend to be the people who are looking for the answer and sadly, there is no answer. Well, there is an answer. There's always going to be an answer. And your answer is going to be very different to someone else's answer. And that's why my coaching, it's just not a one size fits all. I don't do a one size fits all at all. I'm really working with someone's insides and I'm working with someone's psychology. And, you know, every single coaching client is going to be very unique. So, but there isn't one answer. So whatever works for one person isn't going to work for you. Okay, that's really, really important. But they do tend to be the people who are constantly looking for something. You know, you might feel like you're not sure where to turn next. And often as well, what's another common thing is that you might feel that you need more information, lots more information, lots more education. You might be reading a lot of books about hormones. You might be taking a lot of courses about hormones. You might have already done a lot of therapy. You might have done a lot of trauma work already. And what's often missing is this kind of holistic integrative approach and understanding that connection between the endocrine system and the nervous system and how that plays into our who we are as people, in our physicality, and also in our psychology. Okay, so what's happening is, because we're in this place of really wanting to heal our PMDD, we approach our healing from this fight or flight, I must fix myself approach. And trust me, I've been there, so this is not me criticizing you. I'm talking about, this is a very common dynamic that happens, and it becomes this sort of tension that we hold in ourselves, and we have fear around how we need to heal. We're trying to do all the courses, read all the books, look for the answer, look for the next best thing, and then it's all coming from this very fear-based part of us, you know, which is understandable because we haven't been met by the medical system. We haven't been supported by the medical and the psychological system, or even our educational system. And so we are left alone. We're left to the internet. We're left to crowdsourced information on Facebook groups and on Instagram and that kind of thing. And yeah, it can be hard to know where to turn. So what I see then in my practice is that these people usually need a really strong container to get a lot of clarity around the direction they're going in, a good, clear understanding of their nervous system, a lot of support with resourcing, with regulating the nervous system, with healing trauma, with understanding the shadow side of the menstrual cycle, with understanding the energies of that inner autumn and the inner winter. And then slowly, slowly, slowly over time, we start to change our habits. We start to change our choices. We start to think about things differently. We start to work with our inner critic. We start to work with our confidence. And over time, because we've made changes in our diet, we've made changes in our nervous system, we're healing trauma, we're changing our behaviors. And over time, our nervous system begins to regulate and heal, and our hormonal system begins to regulate and heal. And then that allows then more homeostasis, more ease, more flow, more connection with our menstrual cycle. And I've seen people heal from this stuff, you know. So that's kind of a summary of the way that I work, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail. So one of the first things I'm always looking at when I'm coaching with someone is, you know, even though I'm doing coaching and most of my coaching is therapeutic and relational coaching, I do have good education on diet when it comes to hormonal health. So I do spend a little bit of time with individuals working with their nutrition, helping them understand nutrition, just making sure that they're getting the correct balance of nutrients. So that is really important. And the reason why that's important is because if our blood sugar levels aren't balanced, you know, not that they have to be balanced all the time, but if there isn't a good kind of balance generally within our blood sugar level system, and then there's a lot of spikes, say, in your blood sugar levels for various reasons, and there's very particular reasons why that'd be happening, and we look at that in my coaching with you, it can then offset hormones, and it can create over time a lot of disruption in our sex hormones, in our stress hormones, and that can then lead to suffering, particularly if you are sensitive, particularly if you are busy, particularly if you are someone who has a history of trauma as well. Like, it's kind of a low-hanging fruit is the diet piece. So that's kind of like one of the first things we look at. We also look at lifestyle. So looking at, just general lifestyle, how you're living your life, stressors, things like that. And not that we have to go and change it, but we just take a really, really good look at that. And then we go deeper and look at your relationship with your menstrual cycle, the inner seasons, tracking the cycle, learning how to navigate the energies of the inner seasons of the menstrual cycle. And that's a really, really big part of it too, you know, and that takes some time. And then we also look at how we relate to the world. And this is actually where the rubber meets the road when it comes to the coaching, because the food piece and the menstrual cycle awareness piece, you know, I'm not going to say that's easy. That's not easy. It takes a lot of commitment and courage and motivation to change habits and to get into a sort of a cyclical rhythm and into a relationship with your menstrual cycle. That's sort of like the level one, if you will. Then level two, we're looking at how we relate to the world. So then we're looking at things like boundaries and people pleasing and perfectionism. And maybe you have a lot of urgency in your life, or you might struggle with, this is something I've just written it down here, something really common that I see in my PMDD clients. They, not to generalize, I don't like generalizing, but it's just a common thing. Some people do struggle with this concept of not knowing if they're doing something right. And there's a lot of anxiety around that, and they carry a lot of urgency around things too. And so there can be kind of these energy leaks in how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to the world. And the reason often why that's happening is because, from my experience with this, with PMDD, the people who identify as having PMDD symptoms, and even people with PMS and endometriosis and other menstrual, you know, struggles and conditions, and myself included, we are people who are highly sensitive, we're highly intuitive, we're highly empathetic, and also very creative. And we haven't yet learned how to navigate these strengths of intuition, of sensitivity, of being an empath, and navigate that in the world that's very linear and confusing, and where there's a lot of dynamics at play. And so on kind of an unconscious level, we're internalizing a lot and we're taking a lot in, and we're not really strong in our boundaries. We're not really strong in our energy selves. We're not really strong in our relationships and understanding like what's mine and what's not mine and what's theirs. And, you know, and like then we start feeling guilt if we're setting boundaries, or it's really hard to set boundaries, or, you know, like I said, that piece around urgency, lots of things are urgent. And every time we start a new project, there's this kind of urgency around it. Okay. So just to bear all that in mind, there's kind of a lot there. So when I'm working with people, yes, I'm working with the body, I'm working with the menstrual cycle, but I'm also, very importantly, working with people's sort of relational styles, how they're relating to themselves, how they're relating to the world, because that's such a big part of, and I'm really excited about this, that's such a big part of our health and our well-being. And like a lot of chronic pain and suffering is rooted in all that. Okay. So even though that's kind of quote unquote invisible stuff and it doesn't come up on a blood test, I tend to see massive results from people when we work on that more deep level. And this reminds me, for August, it's July 2022. And for August, I'm actually going to do a podcast series. So either 3 or 4 episodes just dedicated to the inner critic. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be an in-depth look at the inner critic and lots of reflection on how we can improve our relationship with our inner critic. It's one of my favorite topics, even though the inner critic is like kind of, you know, it's not a nice thing to talk about or even to think about. But I have to say, I'm pretty good with coaching on the inner critic. And I've done a lot of my own lived experience work with this, and I have a lot to say on it. And I'd love to start with just offering what I have to share in a few podcast episodes in August. So keep an eye out for that. And again, just a little reminder, if you are interested in doing one-to-one coaching with me, you can click the link in my bio, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, and I offer a free consultation, and we can just have a chat and see what's going on for you, what you're experiencing in terms of PMDD or endometriosis or anything, and yeah, see if I can help you. And so yeah, don't hesitate, just click on the link in the show notes and pop a date in my diary, and it'll be really nice to meet you. Okay, then the next piece I want to address when it comes to PMDD, which is a really big missing part in this conversation, is that generally, not always, because sometimes PMDD can just be hormonal imbalance, and you know, it can be usually this estrogen dominance thing playing out. So too much estrogen, or often very often not enough progesterone. But there can often be a trauma piece here. There's a psychological piece. Okay, so I'm going to go into a little bit of science, so bear with me. After ovulation, there's a hormone called estrogen. And when that drops quite drastically after ovulation, and then after a day or so, the second hormone increases called progesterone. But when ovulation drops for women and for people with menstrual cycles, it actually exposes our nervous system. So one of the roles of estrogen is to soothe the nervous system. But when estrogen is dropping, what's happening on a nervous system level is that our nervous system becomes more exposed. It's like as though estrogen is the rug and what's under the rug is the nervous system. So it's like we lift up the rug, you know, and all the stuff we've swept in under the rug over the years is kind of exposed to the world. And if you are a highly sensitive, highly intuitive, creative, empathic person, you do tend to feel your feelings stronger and you do tend to feel your feelings on a very visceral somatic level. And it can be very, very difficult to hold that, all of that stuff ourselves when we haven't, you know, done enough healing and when we don't have education on PMDD and what's happening and if our hormones are doing lots of different things. Okay, so it makes a lot of sense to me why this happens cyclically. It's cyclically, and it's because estrogen is dropping, and often sometimes as well, in addition to estrogen being low, progesterone often can be not enough for some people. So having low progesterone can also contribute to PMDD type symptoms. And so what's happening is then you're in your inner autumn. So inner autumn, you can go back and listen to episode 9 on the inner autumn to learn more about that. But in that premenstrual phase, you're in your inner autumn and then estrogen is low. And then this rug has been pulled up, you know, the carpet's been lifted and all the stuff is there. And if there is a history of trauma there, it's like the menstrual cycle is kind of knocking on the door and saying, look, I want you to look at this. I want you to heal this. It's time that we really, really face this stuff. It's time that we really, really face this shadow. And that can be very scary and it can be very difficult. And then we can go into this trauma response. So the trauma response is usually like this very intense fight or flight response where everything becomes urgent or everything becomes very scary. Or we can go into a freeze response where it's very difficult to get up in the morning. We feel exhausted. We feel isolated. We feel, you know, completely depressed and hopeless. It's a very hopeless, dark place. And so the reason I'm sharing this with you on the podcast is just to normalize that that is very real. It's not in your head. You're not imagining it. It's your hormones are having a dance. They're doing a dance every month. And then that dance has an interaction with your nervous system. And then if there's stuff there in the nervous system, it's going to feel like exposed and come up to the surface. And I'm going to give you here a definition of trauma that I work by, which is coming from Peter Levine. And he's one of my own teachers. Well, indirectly, I'm in his lineage of work. I'm training in the practice that he teaches called somatic experiencing. But trauma is not what happened to, it's not what happened to us. It's not the story that happened to us. But what trauma is what happened in our nervous system as a result of what happened to us. Okay, so I'm going to say that again. Trauma is not what happened to us, but it's what happened to our nervous system as a result of what happened to us, particularly in the absence of an empathetic witness at the time. Okay, so it's the things we didn't get to do or say, or the thing we didn't get to run away from, that then leaves its mark on our nervous system. And so trauma can be an event. It can be a big event, like a big T trauma, they call that in the trauma world, like a car crash or an assault, or it can be a small event, but that still has an impact on you, like a relationship breakup or a divorce. It's not a small event, actually, that's a big event. I also think breakups are very traumatic. It could be, you know, a near miss in a car crash or something, or it can be witnessing a car crash, or it can be the loss. Oh, it could be just grief in itself can be very traumatic, or it can be developmental trauma over, you know, over the course of your childhood as well. That's another thing. So there's a lot of things that can be very traumatic. So what's traumatic for one person will be very different what's traumatic for another person. So it's very important that we don't compare ourselves in our trauma and refuse to allow ourselves to even feel it, you know. So that's another thing to allow yourself to think about considering that word for yourself if you do think that you have some kind of history of trauma. And to be perfectly honest, most of us do. The majority of us have had a big T trauma, multiple big T traumas, and lots of small T traumas, okay? And particularly for highly sensitive people, intuitive people, empathic people, if we haven't learned how to navigate those, or if we're kind of conforming to the society that we live in, which is very capitalist driven, you know, just ignore your feelings and feelings are weak and, you know, push through the menstrual cycle and, you know, all of this pushing and pushing through life and then pushing away things that are quote unquote weak and not helpful, then after some time, our system kind of catches up with us and we suffer physically, we suffer with our mental health. And that's very real. And that's when, you know, those healing ghosts start knocking on the door and generally that person will need support. So if any of this is resonating for you, I just want to extend a hug from me to you. I want to remind you that you're not alone with this. There is hope. And actually, if there's one thing you'll take away from this is that something I've learned as a professional working in this space with PMDD for quite some time, I've worked with individuals with PMDD and I've worked with groups where there was a lot of PMDD in the room as well. One of the things that can be very powerful for you to do and just to take away from this episode is to think about how can you create hope for yourself? So I'm a big believer in action and obviously power and our personal power. That's why this podcast is called From Pain to Power. And I'm a big believer in, you know, our own agency and what can we do. Obviously, I'm a big believer in sitting with feelings and navigating uncomfortable things, but I'm also really a huge advocate for really aligned action in your life and making changes and doing things about stuff. And this idea of creating hope, being a creator of hope in your life and co-creating hope with the universe, with, if you will, or with your higher power or with your partner or with nature, whatever your spiritual connection is, to understand and to know and to give yourself permission that you can create hope in your life. You can do that, and you can do that through small things. You can do that by, well, actually, before I'm going to give you any options, I'd love for you to take a minute to think about what things in my life help me feel hopeful. What people, what places, what things help me feel hope? How can I create hope? So for me, they'd be things, if I'm in a hopeless place, they would definitely be connection. That's so important, even though sometimes when I'm feeling hopeless, it's the last thing I want to do. But it is such an important thing is connection. Getting the right support is very important. Small things like lighting a candle, having a cup of tea, knowing that I can go out for a walk, knowing that I can take exercise, knowing that I can listen to music, knowing that I can listen to an inspirational podcast, knowing that I can delete my social media off my phone if I need space from the world. You know, knowing that I can get in the bath and let myself feel my feelings and have a cry if I need to, and that's okay. So those are the kind of the things that I do to create hope in my life. But I would love to extend that invitation to you. How do you create hope in your life? And let me know. Let me know. You can leave a comment in my Instagram post on this episode or send me an email, lisa@lisadioncoaching.com. But yeah, and on the back of that, there is hope. And I'd say that if you are someone who identifies with PMDD, what I would say is that it's, you know, it is a journey of recovery. It's not a, there isn't a magic pill. There isn't an overnight fix. This is deep process work. This is learning to commit to a path of healing and recovery. This is learning to change the way that we're living and to, you know, heal our relationship with ourselves, heal our relationship with our menstrual cycle, begin to get a little bit more comfortable with difficult feelings. So I do have an episode on that, episode 13. I'd recommend that you go and listen to episode 13. That's all about being safe to sit with your dark feelings and thoughts. If you do experience suicidal ideation or anxiety and depression, hopefully episode 13 will give you comfort through that. Getting support. And yeah, it's definitely a journey of recovery and healing and really taking your power within this difficult experience that PMDD is. So if you're interested in working with me on this, again, to remind you, I do not work in a one size fits all way. It's very difficult for me to explain how I work when I'm doing my consult calls, but it isn't a one size fits all. It's very personalized to you. I know I come across as a lovely person, but when I'm coaching, sometimes I do get quite direct with people. And, you know, sometimes the coaching isn't easy and, you know, it can be a little tough, but it depends on what your needs are. It depends on if you need gentleness or if you need comfort or if you need a little push and a little encouragement. I'm pretty good at picking up on what the need is there. And yeah, I really do have so much confidence in your ability to heal, in your ability to recover. And that's what I really want to offer you through my work, is that I can help you to get to a place of feeling confidence in your recovery journey, in the tools that you need to support you to take better care of yourself with PMDD, to feel more trust in your recovery process. I can help you access agency again, help you access your power again, help you heal trauma, help you with regulating your nervous system. And then as a result, there'll be a lot more harmony in your menstrual cycle. You'll have a lot more trust and safety with difficult feelings. And that will then show up in your menstrual cycle, in your inner autumn, in your relationships. And I have to say, I don't identify as someone who has PMDD, but I've definitely struggled with my inner autumn before, and I've done a lot of work on the inner autumn. And I have to say, now that I'm through the other side of it, my relationships, just, I don't have any drama at all in my relationships or in my work life, very little. And yeah, I just really, really trust that inner autumn. The inner autumn is a shadow side of the menstrual cycle. It can be very difficult, but when we can take the edges off it and create more capacity in your nervous system and build more confidence and trust and power and strength within you, inside of you, yeah, the easier it is to contain. Because I think, as my teacher Alexander Pope says, where there's pain, there's power. And I really, really believe that where there's pain, there's power. It's just, we need to kind of flip it on its head and do some work and do some healing. And then the inner autumn, my friends, becomes a power, a source of power of your menstrual cycle. So I'm going to leave it there. Wishing you all a beautiful rest of your week. And just to remind you, please, please, please leave me a review and a rating on your Apple Podcast or your Spotify or wherever it is you're listening to this. I would really, really appreciate it. And if you're interested, I have courses on my website as well, lisadeyoungcoaching.com/take-a-course. And I look forward to chatting to you next week. Lots of love, my friends. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.